yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stop.
I'd like to talk to you about a message, and we'll continue, God willing, on Wednesday. A message that has been in my spirit for a few weeks now, entitled First Move. Tell somebody you need first move advantage. Oh, I can't hear you at all. I can't hear you. Hallelujah. First Chronicles, the 12th chapter, and the 32nd verse. First Chronicles, the first chapter, the 12th chapter, and the 32nd verse.
And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command.
Timing is very critical for any exploit in life. Timing. When you miss timing, you can be disadvantaged for many years and possible even for decades. There was a man that sat by the pool of Solomon for 38 years, and the only reason for that kind of delay and lack of progress in his life was because of his inability to take advantage of the timings of life. There are seasons in life, and there are windows of opportunity that comes your way and my way every now and then. And like Sir Winston Churchill said, that there come a time in the life of every man where destiny taps on your shoulders to perform a duty for which you were born to perform. And what a tragedy when that moment that could have been your best moment or Kairos time in life comes to find you unprepared. You can't miss it, and one of the reasons why I'm preaching this message is because you can sit in church for many, many, many years and still miss it. You can sit by the poolside, can sit by the anointing and by the glory and still miss it if you lack the ability to appreciate the timings of God or the timings of life. And all the sons of Issachar, who were men that had understanding of the times, to know what to do. So it's one to understand the time you are in. And understanding the times gives you the capability or the right to do what is required at that time in order for you to have the first move advantage. And of the sons of Issachar, who were men that had understanding of the times, to know what to do, what to do, what to do. What is required of you and I at this particular time and season in all of our lives and in the history of humanity and in the history of this nation and of the Church of Jesus Christ. When you lack that understanding of the times you live in, you become a victim and you become a casualty. But this morning, lift up your right hand and say, I am not a victim. I am a victor. Say, I am not a casualty. I am a survivor. Hallelujah. If you believe that, clap your hands and shout somebody. But the thing that gave the sons of Issachar the advantage over 200 of their nationals or brethren was this fact, that they understood the times and knew what was required of them. So it's one thing to understand the times and another thing to know what is required. So many people miss it in life. So many people miss the reason for which they were born and for which they've come into this world. So many can sit in the church and miss why they were planted in the church. So many are blessed and don't even know and understand why they are blessed. So many are favored and don't even know why they are favored. Joseph the other day said, "Don't be angry with yourself for the evil you did to me, for it wasn't you that God used. Your covetousness and envy, jealousy, whatever motivated you to do what you did against me, that God used it anyway. And though it was meant for evil, God turned it for my good." But he understood that the reason for his favor and bless, the reason for which he was blessed, the reason for which he was exalted, elevated, and favored in a foreign land like Egypt, was for the benefit of the very people who attempted to destroy him, to circumvent him, and to have him killed and destroyed. They cast him into the pit, but he came out of the pit. He was sold into slavery, but he survived. He went into prison and was ruling in the prison and from prison to the palace. It doesn't matter what pit you find yourself in today, whether it's a political pit or financial pit or marital pit or family pit, I announce by divine authority that you are coming out of that pit. I declare you are coming out of that pit. If you believe it, say yes. And so the sons of Issachar had understanding, and having understanding gave them an advantage others didn't have. The Bible said that those who understand among the people shall lead others, if you want to lead. And that's why this masterclass, intensive, next level of leadership on the 16th of March with Bishop T.D. Jakes, Rosa Whitaker, and all the others that are coming, is critical for those of you who have been registered to register. And after the service, I want to meet all the business community. Just 2 minutes of your time to give you an announcement and a good news I have. But you cannot grow beyond the knowledge in your head. And knowledge is progressive. And you can never stop learning. And you can never have all the answers. And you can never know it all. The day you believe you know it all, you have arrived, you have all the answers, that is when you begin to die. You start dying. So knowledge is progressive. It's an ongoing thing. You never have it all. You need to add and keep adding. To faith, add. To knowledge, add. So keep adding. Tell somebody, keep adding to what you have. Come with me to Genesis 25, 21 to 22. Genesis 25, 21 to 22.
And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger."
So, in order for you to appreciate what I'm about to talk to you, I want you to understand where it all began from. This was a situation that began from the womb, in the state of unconsciousness, the two brothers. God determined their destiny and who they'll become and the outcome of their life. Wise in the womb of their mother. There was a struggle between them in the womb, and the mother inquired of the Lord, having been barren for so many years, and the Lord said that the elder will serve the youngest. That means he said that I'm going to disinherit the elder brother and give the blessing of the elder brother to the younger brother. So it was a decision taken before they were born, years before they came to this world. It was determined and decided before. Somebody say, I hear you. So keep that in mind. So let's come to 5 to 8, chapter 27 from verse 5 to 8. So I want you to get that understanding so you can get it, because a lot of Bible theologians and scholars argue about these events that took place as it relates to Jacob and Esau and the involvement of their mother, Rebekah. Rebekah played a very strategic role here, and a lot of theologians and Bible scholars, you know, have a lot to say about what she did and how it was wrong and how Joseph circumvented and the mother helped him to steal. And there are all kinds of messages about this. But I'm coming from a different perspective. And I think that Rebekah was a woman of faith. And I believe that she was a very spiritual woman. And she was very sensitive to the spirit. Somebody say sensitivity. Talk to me again. Use that word. Say sensitivity. Do your fingers this way and say sensitivity. 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 Say in the name of Jesus, I awake my prophetic senses. Sensitivity is very important. And she had it. And that is what I like about this woman. That she was sensitive to the moves, to the movements of God, or to the timings of God. Go ahead. Look at something.
And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke unto Esau, his son. And Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, and before my death. And now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee.
Now, when you go home after lunch, take your time and read the whole chapter. It's a very interesting story here. Lots of contradictions if you depend on logic and philosophy. And if you are one that subjects everything to reasoning and must understand everything by reasoning, you're going to have a lot of problem with this chapter here and the verse and the events that took place. But if you are sensitive to the spirit and you are yielded and you are somebody who respect and appreciate God's perspective on matters than man's perspective, you will really enjoy the passage and see how God moves. And the Bible said that my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above that of man. And interestingly, Isaac calls on Esau, the elder son, and said, I don't know when I will die. I need you to cook, bring me some venison. He said, take your weapons, take your bow and arrow, go to the field and hunt and bring me some meat, some bush meat, and prepare me venison such as I love. And when I've eaten and my soul is satisfied, which stands to reason that the only thing that satisfies a soul is what one loves. That what you don't love can't satisfy you. It is what you love that satisfies you. Like, I like taking my pepper, my shito. You know, when I travel, I like my shito a lot. You know, I was in London recently and I had some shito, you know, and it changed the flavor and the taste of the food. It brings some dimensions to the food, you know, and when I eat those food without the shito, I don't sweat. You know, but when I have the shito in it, I sweat and I have to take my handkerchief and wipe my head, wipe my face. Then it's an indication that I feel the unction to function. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and give God some praise and say yes. So anyway, he said, bring it and prepare it such as I love. And when I have eaten and my soul is satisfied, somebody say satisfaction. Some of you haven't had satisfaction in many aspects in life for so long, but I announce to you today that God is restoring your satisfaction in life. That you are going to be satisfied henceforth in every area of life. Say amen. So anyway, when Isaac said to Esau that he was going to die and didn't know when he would die, so he should prepare venison and bring it to him, Rebecca overheard Isaac and called Jacob and said, son, come here. I want you to obey my voice. And let me take responsibility of what I'm asking you to do. Because what I'm asking you to do is a very, very serious thing. It goes against the status quo. It goes against the rules of engagement. It goes against everything in the natural, but it's the right thing to do spiritually. And she said, I am a woman of faith. I am a woman of the spirit. I know what I'm telling you. Follow my lead. Tell somebody, follow my lead. Now, her lead didn't make sense. But the son said, Mom, if I do what you're telling me, when my dad finds out that I'm not Esau, he will curse me. And the mother said, don't worry about that. Let me worry about that. I'll take responsibility of that. Just do what I'm telling you. And so she said, I want you to disguise yourself. And I want you to go bring some lamb from the back house, backyard, and let me prepare venison for your dad such as he loves. So he did. And he took the venison to his dad and said, your voice is that of Jacob, but your skin is that of Esau. What's going on here? He said, Papa, there is nothing going on. Just eat the venison and bless me. Ooh, Jesus. I love it. I love it. So anyway, the old man went ahead and ate the venison and then blessed. Somebody say, first move advantage. Talk to me again. Say, first move advantage. You see, spiritual protocols are very serious. Very, very serious. For instance, I hear people pray for long life. One of the keys to unlocking and securing long life is observing the protocol of honoring your father and your mother. And observing the protocol of honoring your spiritual parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6. It's very, very important. Now, it doesn't matter what they do wrong or right. It is a spiritual protocol that must be respected and must be honored, irrespective of what. But for whatever reason, people choose to dishonor, to disrespect, and take sides against their fathers and their mother in the natural, and to disrespect spiritual parents or spiritual authority. There are serious consequences for that. You don't want to go there. And I've had a lot of experience over the years when it comes to dealing with the protocol of honoring father and mother, and dealing with spiritual protocol is a very, very serious thing. Because sometimes you see their nakedness like that of Noah. And you can either cover it or uncover it. And there is a blessing for covering their nakedness and a curse for uncovering it. And it's ongoing today in the church where people have not learned how to cover the nakedness of their physical and spiritual parents. As soon as they see a little nakedness of their spiritual parents, they have to go out of their way to prove to everybody that they are different. And they are putting disclaimer on their father and on their mother. And they decide to choose who their new spiritual parents should be, what church they should attend. They choose when to tithe, when not to tithe. And they criticize, and they are critical of leadership, critical of everything leadership does. And you look at them, they haven't touched any human being in their life and accomplished anything. And they have no legacy, no memorial before God or man. And yet they are so arrogant and argue about everything, critical about everybody and everything, just because of some little success or some little money here and there that they've been able to save, or some few properties they have home and abroad. They think they have arrived and they know it all. And it's very sad. But again, it's lack of knowledge. It's lack of understanding. They lack illumination. Because if you have light, like the two sons of Noah, you'll never uncover the nakedness of your prayer. You never take sides. You never take sides. Wrong is wrong. Evil is evil. But when it comes to the protocols of God, it's very different how God approaches and sees things. So anyway, Rebecca prevailed on Jacob, and Jacob went in with a venison and got a blessing. And what disturbed me was this. God had already declared, decreed, made it known by judicial determination in heaven that the blessing and the inheritance will go to Jacob and not Esau. Therefore, I expected that God, in his own way, will work it out and make sure it got to Jacob and not to Esau. But God works with men. God uses men. You know, when I got born again and I went to Church of Pentecost, there was an elder called Elder Saki. And when I was taken into heaven, I saw him in heaven. And Elder Saki was a very interesting man. And I remember that one time we went in, myself and a group of friends of ours, took a friend of mine, a lady, into the church to pray for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we did it all night long, screaming, shouting, commanding her to be baptized and speak in tongues. And it never happened. And in those days, they had a parsonage next to the church. So the next day, the pastor's wife told the elder, Elder Saki, what had happened, that new guy, you know, had a lot of bushy hair in those days. With the bushy hair, and his friends were here with this lady all night. And the way she put it, it was like we were doing something wrong and bad. So the elder stood in the church on the Sunday morning, called me to stand and called my friends to stand, and really blasted us and told us, in this church, we don't do those kind of things here. It was very, very embarrassing. And after church, my two friends decided that was it. They're out of here. I had nowhere to go. I've been out there, seen it all. And after all that has happened to me, I said, nobody's going to drive me out of this place. Nobody's driving me out of this church. God brought me here for a reason. I'm staying here. And I don't mind what the embarrassment is. I'm going to face it, and I'm going to despise the shame, and I'm going to be here. Thank God I did not leave. After the service, I went to him. He lived at the airport residential area. I live at the airport residential area. He was living around the same area. So I went to him, and he gave me a ride back home. And in the evening, he picked me up back to church. I never complained. I didn't say that, elder, I didn't appreciate what you did. And I think it's very, very wrong for you to have done that. At least the Bible says you should have called us and talked to us before bringing us before the church and all that. I didn't say anything. I just let it go. I never wanted to displease him or to say anything to look like I was questioning him or challenging him by anything. I didn't say anything. I just let it go. I never said anything. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand, everybody. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. If we have a doctor here, we need you. Kadaha Su, just pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit. If we have a doctor, can you please come up, please? Come out. We need a doctor here, please. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray. Maradustis. Koda Hadasit. Le Krosto Sadi Hadasas. Any doctor here, please? Koda Bahad. Le Rango Distan Kodas. Ekodaya. Any doctor here, please? Come up on my right side of the auditorium. Thank you. Legodo Sikada Zadibro de Kesida Mayando Lomro Kodika Sikabaha Lekoporo de Kesikata Handa Bosa Dahaya Edekrosto BTC. Amen. So look at me. Our understanding of spiritual protocol in those days is so different from the understanding of spiritual protocol today. Today, people can disrespect their fathers and their mothers, argue with them, have no regard and respect for spiritual authority. It's very scary. Things people do this day, even when you are preaching, you see people talking to one another. When you are preaching, they are on their cell phone. And after the service, they meet at the car park, they discuss your preaching and say, well, I disagree with him. He shouldn't have said that. Who does he think he is? It's amazing that the rebellion and the disrespect and dishonor for spiritual order and protocol. When Moses and Miriam, Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses, God heard it. Moses didn't hear it. And one of the things God said that really frightened me was when God said to Miriam and to Aaron, Moses' elder brother and sister, that were you not afraid to speak ill of your younger brother? Seeing that I have given him my delegated authority, you were not afraid to speak against him? Don't you know the consequence of what you were doing? And God was angry and walked away. And Moses have to step in to intercede for them. It's very, very, I mean, that really scared me when God, Moses didn't say that. It was God who said, were you not afraid? We live in a society today in this country where in the name of politics and party politics, people can insult anybody. People can go on air, talk, say anything they want to say, and literally silencing the voice of nobles that truth and reasoning don't exist anymore. And if you don't question your father or question your mother or insult a dignitary or insult presidents or past president, then you are disregarded. And we applaud people who have the audacity to dishonor dignitaries and ordinances and fathers and mothers in the society. We applaud them. We see them as intelligent and smart and bold and courageous. You are hanging yourself. It's just a matter of time. It will come back to haunt you and bite you. I'm just telling you. So anyway, somebody say first move. So let me land now. Let me land. Say first move. Say it again. Say first move. So here, Rebecca said, Jacob, even though God determined and it was prophesied whilst you were in the womb that the inheritance is coming to you and not Esau, your elder brother, and it has been proclaimed and it is written, if you don't make the first move to present the venison, whoever brings the venison has the advantage. And that I've watched and seen over these 40 years in being in ministry, that how people can be circumvented. I was talking to somebody on the phone this early morning and sharing with me about a situation. And I said, but can't you see that you are being circumvented? And suddenly, while we were talking, the Spirit just opened her eyes for the first time and she had an open vision. And she said, I can't believe it. I've never seen this before. And it was exactly what I was telling her on the phone. The Lord just opened her eyes, took her into the realms of the spirit, and revealed what I was telling her. And she said, wow, this is scary. I've never seen an open vision before. I dream, but to have my eyes open and then to see beyond my natural senses and eyes, I've never seen that before. Amazing. So Rebecca said, "My son Jacob, I understand the rules of engagement and the natural protocol, but there are also spiritual protocols. I need you to make the first move." The reason why people procrastinate is because of doubt. I'm telling you, procrastination is doubt. People defer their obedience, and defer obedience is disobedience. They know what to do, but for whatever reason, they refuse to act and they don't do it, and they put it on hold, is doubt. Because if you believe, you act. And Jacob believed the mom and did what he was told to do. Now, this is what bothered me. Isaac said, "Bring me venison such as I love. Let me eat and bless you because I don't know when I'll die." And after blessing Jacob, he lived for 20 more years and did not die. He said this in Genesis 27. I think he died Genesis 35. Yeah, just about that time. 20 years different. So, what was the whole logic in bringing me venison to eat, to bless you? I want to bless you now. Because he said he doesn't know when he will die. And he was a spiritual man. And he felt the urgency that something was going to happen to him. So he needed to set his house in order. He needed to secure the legacy. He needed to impact the grace and the blessing to Esau. And after doing that, he lived 20 years, 20 more years, and did not die. And for whatever reason, the wife, Rebecca, did not ignore what he said. But as a woman of faith and as a spiritual woman, understood the dealings of God. And she had spiritual sensitivity. And she said to the son, "Jacob, I'll tell you something. Irrespective of how you feel about what your dad has said, first move advantage is critical and required in this instant. You make the first move. Bring meat, I'll do venison. Present it to him, get the blessing before Esau brings his." On Wednesday, we can study it and look at it from different perspectives. And I know all of you will have your own meaning to it anyway. But I'm telling you as a spiritual man, and as a spiritual father by God's grace, that I support Rebecca's move. I'm telling you. And you don't have to agree with me, but one of these days, you will. You will. One of these days, you will. And as soon as Jacob got the blessing and walked away from the father, that window was closed. And Esau came. And Esau came and said, "Dad, I brought the venison, sit up, eat, and bless me." And the Bible said, and Isaac trembled. Everybody do this. Trembled. Come on, tremble, tremble, tremble. Let me see. Some of you are not obeying me. I said trembled. You know why he trembled? He trembled because he understood what has happened. Hey, he was a spiritual man. He understood the protocols of the spirit. And he knew that what he had done was irrevocable and was not negotiable. That it was done. People said he was blind. Whether he was blind or not, he had the ability and the capabilities of the Spirit to pronounce a thing, and it stood up to today. Nothing could change it. And the reason why he trembled was because he understood that, hey, this is heavy. I've been beaten. Something has happened. This is not right. But he couldn't do anything about it. It was too late. And then Esau said, Dad, is there no blessing left for me? And he said, and you see, it took us back to what God said when they were in the womb. This thing is deep. Spiritual things are very scary. He said, as a matter of fact, one, he said, I have no blessing for you. And as a matter of fact, I have made you a servant to your brother. Or a slave to your brother. Somebody say heavy. I'm not feeling you this morning. Someone talk to me, say heavy. And that takes me back to what God said when they were in the womb, that the elders will serve the youngest. But first move was necessary. I pray that after you hear this message, for the rest of your life, that nobody, by some manipulations of the powers of the dark kingdom, will succeed in circumventing you. Because I've seen people circumvented in life. I've been circumvented myself in life. So I understand exactly what I'm telling you. And I know and understand what the power of the venison does and can do. And if you're a spiritual father and you don't have sight and illumination, the enemy can beat you to it. And I've seen people bring me venison and kneel down and ask for my prayers. And I'll tell them, I can't pray for you today. You go. I'll call you later. Let me pray and ask God some things first. Because I can see that the venison was designed to provoke me to speak a word and to decree and to place a blessing where God has placed a curse. But that you will understand right now. Later on, you will as time goes on.